Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Colasar, charging out. Colasar, the righty, shoots and scores! Colasar on the breakaway!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace hanging out at Stadium Swim, Circa Resort, and Casino Las Vegas. Plenty of time for you to get down here. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Chris Chapman, he's back inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of Duff. Woo! What a day. What a venue, Chapman. What a venue I'm in right now. Like, I can't accurately describe it, except for the fact that I'm hanging out in a cabana. And I don't know if you know this about me, Chapman, or not. I don't hang out at cabanas very often. I'm not the coolest guy in the world. Like, you know, I do this thing on the radio. That may be the coolest thing about me, truly. And yet, here I am inside a cabana at Stadium Swim. I can look out in front of me, and I can see the 143-foot video wall. There's sports going on right now. I've got the Rangers and the Red Wings about to drop the puck. I've got NCAA women's basketball in front of me. I've got NBA basketball. There's baseball going. Like, everything's happening around me. And this is just the Insider Show. At the end of the Insider Show, I'm hanging out all night long. I've got the pregame, I've got intermissions, I've got postgame. There will be a Golden Knight viewing party, an official Golden Knight viewing party. That means Chance is going to be here. The Vegas Vivas are going to be here. I'm expecting the Golden Knight will be here. And all you got to do, like, if you want to come hang out, watch the game, check out this venue that is so unique and so different, then all you got to do is wear VGK gear. You show up in VGK gear, you get in for free. It's awesome. It's a win-win-win-win-win situation. There are no losers here at all. So come on down. You have plenty of time to get down here. As I said, we are going to be here all night long. Official VGK viewing party takes place starting at 6 o'clock, obviously throughout the game, and then for an hour or so afterward. By the way, this isn't all that's happening at Stadium Swim. I know there's a big golf tournament coming up. Contractually, I'm not supposed to say which big golf tournament is coming up, but there is a big golf tournament coming up, and what we're doing here for the Golden Knights, Stadium Swim is doing for the big golf tournament. So, you know, listen, if you want to hang out somewhere for the win, it would be here at Stadium Swim. Just keep that in the back of your mind.
That is really...
Are you jealous?
I was jealous when I heard that you were going to be down there. I'm jealous that you actually are down there now. Derek Stevens, who of course is the man behind Circa and Stadium Swim and the D, like, he has completely changed downtown Las Vegas with his forays into the casinos down there. But, like, I just love that whole area. Like, it's just cool. Like, I love watching old movies about that take place on Fremont and like, you never could have imagined when you're watching, like, Diamonds Are Forever, one of the James Bond films, where he cruises up and down Fremont and he's going by the Mint all, like, 37 times. It's the same stock footage of him going by the Mint. You never could have imagined a place like Stadium Swim existing, yet here we are. It's, listen, that golf tournament that's coming up, if you can't be at that golf tournament and it's pretty hard to get in, there's no better place than being there. I mean, could you imagine watching Tiger Woods and some of the other stars of the PGA and golf world while you're sitting in the pool drinking a beer? Yeah. Like that's pretty damn cool, man.
It's a swimming pool and, like, effectively a sports book all wrapped into one. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So If you want to check it out, if you've never been out to Stadium Swim, or you just want to be among Vegas Golden Knights fans looking to watch a game of certainly importance for Vegas, then this is the place to be. Now let's dig into that game a little bit, Chapman. We've got the Arizona Coyotes coming up. It's final appearance or final game between Vegas and Arizona this year. Each team has taken one. Vegas at Mullet Arena, Arizona at T-Mobile Arena. And, you know, oftentimes we talk about trap games. And, you know, I've been all season long pretty consistent that there are no trap games. There are no trap games. Like, when you're the defending Stanley Cup champions, it doesn't matter if you're playing the top team in the league, or you are the top team in the league, or you're playing number 32. It doesn't really matter. Everyone is going to give you their best night in and night out. There really aren't trap games. But when you look at the last week for Vegas, when you look at what's ahead for Vegas next week, this is kind of the definition of a trap game.
Well, there can't be a trap game if you're the Golden Knights. You're still fighting for playoff positioning, a playoff spot. Look, I think these guys are going to be focused, but there can't be a letdown. You just beat the tar out of the Vancouver Canucks. Like, you beat the snot out of them. Like, you can't have a letdown a couple of games later against the Coyotes. But I think when you factor in that Mullet Arena tends to attract a lot of Golden Knight fans, I don't foresee the Golden Knights falling into the proverbial trap that could be waiting for them like some of the other franchises in the NHL could. But, yeah, I mean, certainly, look, this is a team you can't overlook. They've got some good players, and I know that they're obviously not a playoff team, but there's some good, especially good young players on that Coyotes team who they're playing to prove that they're NHL players. So you're going to have to go out there tonight. You're going to have to play a really good game, because if you don't, you're going to lose. Like, I don't think you slice it or dice it any other way. The Coyotes are dangerous because they've got hungry young players. And Connor Ingram's going to be riding high. Logan Cooley, he's an unbelievable young player. I mean, Clayton Keller, I read that Clayton Keller has an opportunity to have a point in his 10th straight game. He would only be the third Coyote to ever accomplish that. So, they're
you know, it's funny. I truly thought you were going to say they have hungry eyes.
Hungry,
I thought you had
eyes.
Yeah, 100%. I thought you were going there.
A little Dirty Dancing
amazing
reference. Nobody puts baby in a corner, right?
nobody puts the Arizona Coyotes in a corner.
Nope.
We expect to have Tyson Nash, the TV analyst for the Arizona Coyotes, on around 4:30 or so.
He's a really
fun.
Yeah, he is.
He's awesome. And we want to dig into the Arizona Coyotes as a team. Like, obviously, there's a lot surrounding Arizona right now with the potential land auction that's taking place in June, whether or not Arizona is going to, or the Coyotes are going to stay in Arizona. But, you know, as much as you can dig into that, I'm more interested in the season that Logan Cooley's having. I'm more interested in what Josh Doan's emergence and really his ability to make it to the National Hockey League and the ties that Shane Doan and the Doan family have to that city specifically, what it means for the growth of hockey in Arizona at the grassroots level. Like, there are good stories surrounding the Arizona Coyotes. You mentioned Connor Ingram. That's another one of them. I want to focus more on that when it comes to Arizona, because, again, they as an organization, they get dragged through the mud a lot. But as you mentioned, there are good young players with this Coyotes team. There are reasons to be excited if you are a Coyotes fan because of what's on the ice night in and night out. I know it hasn't gone well for them really in the back half of the season, but the fact of the matter is, like, this is a team that you can understand and see the growth and the trajectory with what they're building, and I think that's the most important thing to highlight here with the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of that franchise, you can see the fruits of the labor. I mean, Logan Cooley's only 19 years old. You've got Dylan Gunther, who's 20. You know, he's another guy. In 38 games, he's got 25 points. So there's some good young players that the Coyotes have brought along and drafted. And, you know, you add them with Clayton Keller, who I think, and I want to ask Tyson about this, but why does Clayton Keller not get the respect that he deserves? I mean, The guy goes out night in, night out, and he is, by definition, a star player, but he never really gets talked about with the other star players of the league. You know, it's unfortunate, but, I mean, he's a guy who I think we've watched him, it seems like, forever, but yet he's only 25. So there's definitely some light at the end of the tunnel if some of these younger players can start to gel. Defensively, I think they've got to get a little bit better, but you and I both like Sean Dursey. Look, J.J. Yeah. Moser's having a really good season, another good young player. So I think if I'm a Coyotes fan, land deal aside, I'm kind of excited about the future because I think for the first time in some years, there's actually a future to talk about.
Yeah, 100%. Now, we've talked about it from the Coyotes lens. We'll get into one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League in hour number two. We're also going to dig into Elliot Friedman's, I don't want to call it a rant, but in a lot of ways it was, about why the NHL needs to expand the playoffs. We're going to hit it, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't necessarily disagree with Elliot. I just think the timing is poor, and I'll explain that in hour number two. We've also got the Michael Emenden Hockey Parlay Contest coming up a little bit later on, so a chance to win some money over the course of the weekend. But again, the Golden Knights, it's a trap game against Arizona. It is. Now, whether or not you succumb to the trap is really in the hands of the Vegas Golden Knights. And what we have seen out of this team over the last 12 games or so has been a steady growth in their game. Consistency, defensive structure, ability to respond inside of a game, resiliency in that regard. This team has really found their form. And I think that if you look at things objectively here from a Golden Knights perspective, you take the trap right out of it. If you do not allow the opponent, who the opponent is, to enter your headspace, to enter your frame of mind. For Vegas, really what today is about is another opportunity to add to what they've built in their game. And I think going into the playoffs, you've got 7 games left. You have to do that. You have to view it that way. For Vegas, this is an opportunity to not worry about who the opponent is and only focus on what they need to do to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you're entering the stretch of the season now where you need to really be playing your best hockey. And it doesn't matter if you're playing the Arizona Coyotes or you're playing the Edmonton Oilers or you're playing the Vancouver Canucks. You don't want to have any emotional letdowns this time of year. Look, I'm a big believer in if you're not focused on the game and you don't go out there and you play your best, I think you leave yourself to really sometimes get injured. I just think this is a game where they will be focused. I don't think Bruce Cassidy, because, you know, the last time they played this team, I know they shut them out 3-0, but it didn't seem like it was a runaway victory for the Golden Knights. Like, they got 3 goals really early, and then they kind of put it on cruise control. But I feel like you kind of have to play 60 minutes against the Coyotes. I don't think you can go in cruise control because I think they're playing, well, not better. I still feel like these guys are playing for pride because you've got young kids, and young kids want to play. They want to have fun playing hockey, and winning hockey is fun hockey. So I could see a situation where Arizona comes out and plays one of their best games of the season.
Sure. I wouldn't be surprised with that either. Now, we know Tomas Hertl will not be playing tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. He's not going to make his VGK debut, and an unfortunate situation in that regard. However, Darren Millar kind of brought the question up. You didn't have much of an opportunity to kind of get to your opinions on it. How many games do you need to see from Tomas Hertl? There's 6 remaining after today, and in that regard, you're kind of getting into that space where you want enough games for Hertl to get his timing. You want enough games for him to feel comfortable. But at the same time, you got to default to the player and what he needs in terms of getting ready and gearing up. So where are you at? How many games do you need from Tomas Hertl?
I want at least 5. I think 5 is a good number because it's nice, like, what's the word? Like, it's a significant number, right? Like, five is a good number. I think I want him playing at least the last five games of the season. I don't want him taken off or not playing in the Anaheim game. I want him to have that as an opportunity to maybe build some confidence. Look, if he plays five of six, like if he plays three and he has to rest one and then he plays another three, I think I'm or another two, I'm okay with that. I was hoping he was going to play tonight, obviously. But Edmonton game is a big one right around the corner. Vancouver game is a big one Monday night. So I think if he plays in those two games, I'll be happy. But I think it's I want to see, obviously, the most that's allotted that he could play. If it's all six, that'd be great. But I think five is a good number. I want him playing the last five. If he can't play Monday, disappointing. But I hope he's ready for the Edmonton game because I think they're going to need him in that game. Plus, you know, you want him playing good hockey going into playoffs. I mean, I don't know Tomáš Hertl. Like, we've never covered Tomáš Hertl, so I don't know if he's a guy who starts slow, if he's a guy who comes out and is right in it right away. What I do know about Tomáš Hertl is he's a primetime player. Like, he's a big-time player. He's a big game player. He's a guy who shows up in the biggest games. So I think he'll be all right, but I still want to see at least four or five games from him. I mean, he's gonna have to now, build chemistry with the guys he's playing
with. That's to me, it's more about that, right? It's less about it's less about how much Tomáš is going to need to kind of get his timing back. I trust the player, right? Like, you know what he can do when he gets to his peak, right? When he's 100%, you know how he can kind of control a game. You know where he can go to score. You know how this guy can operate in the National Hockey League. So 100%, like, you want that, and you know that that's going to come. But more than anything, for me, it's getting in and familiar with the system, getting in and trying to build chemistry with whoever that initial fit is going to be. And we saw it happen in real time, right, with Anthony Mantha. Like, it wasn't the first look for Anthony Mantha. It was the second, maybe the third one. When you put him with William Karlsson, everything kind of works and falls into place. It would be awesome, right, if the first set of players Tomáš Hertl suited up with, he found instant chemistry. But if that doesn't happen, I think you need enough games, enough runway to find a fit that works before you get to the playoffs. So, yeah, I was looking at four or five. So if you get four or five, I think that that's enough, but that's kind of where I'm leaning in terms of that. And it's less to do with what I think Hertl needs individually to get himself to the right spot, and more to do with building the chemistry and being comfortable inside the system.
Yeah, and what you touched on, I think, is the most important aspect. There needs to be enough time to where if Bruce Cassidy has to make some adjustments to his lineup, he can do that with enough ability to say, all right, maybe this didn't work, but this isn't working either, so I want to try this. I don't think the playoffs are a time to work on building chemistry. Like, I feel like you need to have that chemistry going into the playoffs. We saw Barbashev last year. He kind of hit the ground running. Like, he fit right in day one. Obviously, we talked about Noah Hanifin, I think it was yesterday, but how well he fit in right away and what he brought to this organization from day one. I want to be able to see our hope, and not just mine, but I guess everyone listening as well, what you said. You hope that Bruce Cassidy puts him in a spot where right away he's got chemistry. It doesn't matter if it's with Chandler Stephenson. Doesn't matter if it's with William Karlsson. Like, to me, I just need to see enough of a sample size to know where his best fit with this team is. And it starts as soon as he gets in the lineup. I'm sure it started a little bit in practice. But I don't really know if you could watch practice and say, yeah, that's it. These two guys have chemistry. You may have an idea, but until you see the finished product out there on the ice, you're really not going to know.
Yeah, and that's really going to be the key for me as we move along here. When Hurdle's available, how much time it takes him to kind of build that chemistry, that remains to be seen. But hopefully he gets enough runway there. Now, Nick Waugh not expected to play today for the Golden Knights either. Bruce Cassidy said that he kind of picked something up late in the Vancouver game. More so maintenance days, just giving him some time to heal. Doesn't expect it to be something long-term, but that opens up a door for Brendan Brisson. And, you know, the thing with Brisson, he's going to play on the fourth line with Brett Howden and Keegan Kolesar. I know a lot of people will look at that and say, why can't Brendan play up, right? Like, why can't Brendan be in a position on a second line or you know, middle six alongside Carlson? And, you know, the argument or, you know, what Bruce Cassidy talked about earlier is you want young players to play in different roles. You want young players to have different viewpoints on the game and different situations that they can kind of grow into and build upon. And I think, you know, the other aspect of it too is there are no lines with Vegas where you don't have high-end skill. And it was evidenced by the play that Keegan Kolesar made to set up Brett Howden's goal on Tuesday against Vancouver. That's an elite all-world play by Keegan Kolesar to delay, perfect pass, all of that. If Brendan Brisson gets open, he's going to get looks. He's going to get chances.
Yeah, and you could even talk about the play that Alec Martinez made with Chandler Stephenson to set up Michael Amadio's goal the other day. Like, there's plenty of high-end talent no matter where you're playing. But I think for Brisson, this is a really good opportunity because he's probably going to be part of the Black Aces. But look, there's always a possibility that you're going to get called upon to play in the playoffs. So You've got to be ready. But the other thing is, from this perspective for Brisson, he's a guy who probably, I would imagine, figures he's going to be in the NHL next year. So this is an opportunity for him to just get another opportunity to show the management and the coaching staff what he's capable of, but also for them to tell him, look, this is areas of your game that you're going to need to improve upon if you want to be with the big club next year. I think for Brisson, he's taken some pretty good advantages of his opportunities, but I want to see more. I want to see him with that one-timer. I want to see that shot. I want to see him have opportunities, and I want to see him take advantage. I don't necessarily need to see him score, but I want to see him get that shot off because that's a real weapon, and it's something that gives other teams something to think about when he's out there on the ice, and it draws attention to him and off of other players. Like, that's how Brendan Brisson could really help this team. And I'm excited for him. I like him. I like his game. I think he's got a real high ceiling. I just want to see him take some advantages when he's out there. And tonight's one of those opportunities for him. And, you know, he's going to be out there with some other really high-end talent on the other side. So if you're a fan of up-and-coming players, this is a game for you to watch.
Yeah, you're right on the money there. It's just should be a really interesting one between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Arizona Coyotes. As we mentioned, this is, if you're going to go by definition, this is a trap game for the Vegas Golden Knights. However, given the growth that they have had in their game, given what they've been able to do of late, I don't expect the Golden Knights to fall to the trap, and really that's the most important thing. We're going to take a break and sort some things out here as the VGK Insider Show rolls along on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
All right, welcome back to the VGK Insider Show. Chris Chapman, Ryan Wallace, on his way back to the studio, had some technical issues out at Stadium Swim, so he is on his way back. So I'm going to walk you through the next couple of minutes here before we throw to network, but being joined now by Tyson Nash, the color analyst on the Arizona Coyotes broadcast. Tyson, how you doing today, man?
I am doing fantastic. Ready for this big tilt. Should be a good one.
Yeah, you know, I love that call for starters because I believe that was Logan. You said it was Logan Cooley's first career hat trick. Logan Cooley, of course, I think a superstar in the making. Only 19 years old. It's amazing. But you kind of chirped Shane Doan in the process.
Oh, you gotta. He's obviously an old buddy of mine. We've kind of grown up together. We've known each other since we were 10 years old. We lived together in Kansas. We played together here in Arizona. So I gotta bust his chops. It took him forever. I think he had 51 two-goal games But he finally, I think, got his first three-goal game. I think it was game like 11 or 1200. So I got to bust his chops a little bit for sure.
Now, that's pretty cool because his son, Josh, is now up with the Coyotes, only 21 years. We were talking about this in the first segment. All these good young players that the Coyotes have now joining the franchise, and they're emerging, and Josh Doan, one of them, you got to see him score his first two goals, of course, in the league. I know his father was there. Just how cool was that to see?
Well, just incredible. I mean, you know, again, as I mentioned, me and Shane have known each other since 10 years old. All our kids are pretty much the same age. So Josh and my son Ty have grown up together, played hockey together in the Valley. You know, it's just so fun to see. Obviously, when you see, you know, you realize you're getting old, first of all, when you're seeing our kids playing in the league. But it's just so special. Josh, it almost feels like my son in ways, you know, how close we are to the family. And then for him to, you know, obviously wear that name, that's a heavy burden, right? A lot of adversity just in the name itself, because that comes with a lot of pressure. I think a lot of people were like, oh, this kid's only drafted because of his dad, and obviously to the Coyotes because of his dad, and, you know, he was a second-round pick because of his dad, and, you know, but when you see this kid play and for him to go out and do what he did in his first game and then his second game put up another 2 points, and then his third game get another point, I mean, he had a three-game point streak. He had 5 points in his first three games in the National Hockey League. The only other guy in this organization that's done that was Dale Hawerchuk, and that's saying something. So a special, special story.
Yeah, it's really cool because I used to live in Phoenix. I used to go to Coyotes games. I'd see Shane play. I mean, I go back old school. Like, I was there when Nikolai Hobby-Bulin was in net, and one of my favorite players, Teppo Numminen, was on the team. So we're going way back when the Coyotes played at America West Arena. But for a kid like Josh Doan, who is Arizona through and through, just what is having someone like him on the team do for hockey in the Valley?
Well, and that's what people don't understand. When you walk through, and I think you're going to see it slowly there in Vegas with you guys, it's going to just emerge as players retire and they start retiring there and, you know, like giving back to the community and coaching. You walk into any one of our ice rinks here in the Valley in Arizona, and you're going to see Shane Doan. You're going to see Ray Whitney, Taylor Pyatt, Dallas Drake, myself, Derek Morris, Corey Hirsch, Sean Burke. I mean, these guys are out there coaching our kids in a local rink and local teams. That is the quality of coaching that we have here in Arizona. And I grew up in Edmonton back in the heyday with the Edmonton Oilers. I can't even imagine if I saw Mark Messier, Glenn Anderson, or Jari Kurri on the ice with us as kids. And that's what we're getting for our young players. But, again, just, you know, back to Josh, I mean – that we always claim so many different players if they've been here 1 year, 3 years, 4 years as our own, right? As Arizona, you know, players that have gone on to the NHL. But Josh is through and through a Coyote, and Matthew Knies as well, who plays with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Those two played together on the same line their entire childhood. So I just think it's now everyone who plays in Arizona and throws on that Coyote shirt is like, hey, I want to be Josh Doan. I want to be Matthew Knies. It's not, I want to be Shane Doan anymore. It's, I want to be Josh Doan. And that's how I refer to Shane now. I go, you're no longer the captain Shane Doan anymore. You are now Josh Doan's dad. So take it and like it.
Tyson Nash, our guest here, Coyotes color analyst. You know, the funny thing is, for a little bit this season, you had someone we here in Vegas claimed as our own, and Jason Zucker. So, you know, it's funny how hockey has grown in the Southwest. And I really think that the Arizona Coyotes were a huge part of just this growth of the NHL, of course, when they moved from Winnipeg down to Phoenix. Just, I mean, I remember those games, and the fans were so into it. And you had tons of hockey people because of all the snowbirds and people who moved there from the Midwest. And I want to see the Coyotes get back to that. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. I lived there for a couple of years. But I want to talk a little bit about tonight's game, because we were kind of talking a little bit in the first segment that it's potentially a trap game for Vegas. I didn't really push back on that being a trap game, because I think you've got a lot of good young players there who are trying to make a name for themselves in the NHL. So what are you expecting tonight from this very young and talent-laden Coyotes team?
Well, I agree with you. This is a trap game for any team that comes in and plays us. And I watch it. I'm between the benches. I see it evolve, right? I saw it against the Rangers. The Coyotes went blow for blow with them. I mean, they're the first place team in the National Hockey League. And we went blow for blow against these guys until they were halfway through the game going, oh my God, we better wake up here because we could lose this game. Because they're kind of taking it to us. We took them lightly. We took the building lightly. I mean, you walk in here, 5,000-seat arena, right? You're playing a team that's way below you in the standings, out of the playoff picture. But, again, I will say that those are trap games. But I'll also say that there's no easy games in the National Hockey League. Any team could beat any other team on any given night. You get a hot goaltender. Some guy gets a hot stick and buries a couple goals for whatever reason. But this is clearly a team that is playing loose, which makes them very dangerous. Guys like Keller and, I mean, even like the young players, as you just mentioned. I mean, there's still lots for them to play for. They're being evaluated. They're trying to fight for contracts, and they're trying to make sure that they come back and they're invited back next year. So lots to play for. So I would say, yes, it's a very dangerous game for Vegas.
Yeah, and that one of those games that you didn't mention, when we played it coming back from break, was the Nashville game. The Predators come in on this 18-game point streak. They're riding high. Logan Cooley has the hat trick, but the Coyotes exploded in that game. What, they have 8-9 goals in that one?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. And listen, Bill Armstrong will say the same thing. It's ended up being a real disappointing season because this is a group that wanted to take that next step. You know, and there's twofold. We weren't able to take that next step after we lost 14 straight games. That was very disappointing, and I sure hope that, you know, I played in the league, and I've been through moments like that, that it resonates with them, and they never want to experience that again because it's awful. It's miserable when you lose that much and you're in the playoff picture. I mean, this was a team that was fighting with the Nashville Predators point for point in the standings at that point. I think we owned the second wild card. We wanted to play meaningful games this year. We wanted to take another step, and we didn't. And I think the other thing is that, you have to remember that and how that feels. So Nashville, I think they were running hot. They had 18 straight points. They came in here on fumes. So I don't get too excited about it just because this is a team that's, you know, playing loose. It's easy to play loose. It's hard to play when there's pressure on you, when every mistake matters, right? And right now that's not the case for this Coyotes group. And as well, they came up against the Nashville Predators team that was running on high for a long, long time, and they had nothing in the tank.
Yeah, I think that was the next game after they came back to beat Vegas with a pretty spectacular third period. But Clayton Keller, I think, is a guy who's on the border of being a superstar player, but he doesn't seem to get the notoriety and the credit that he deserves. I mean, every season it seems like this guy's scoring a ton of points for the Coyotes. In your opinion, why doesn't he get the notoriety? Is it as simple as the fact that he plays for the Coyotes, or is there something else to it?
I think it's because he plays here in Arizona. You know, obviously we're in a rank that is not the standard in the National Hockey League. But as you mentioned, hopefully that all changes. We get this new rank. We had a big announcement yesterday with the land. So hopefully that happens. And as you guys know, I mean, or as you know, I mean, every player in the National Hockey League wants to come play in Arizona for a million different reasons, if they have a rink. And right now, Bill Armstrong, the job that he's done with this young group, how they're built. I mean, Clayton Keller is a guy that, you know, has been in the league 7-8 years, and you almost think he's old because he's been around so long. But he just turned 25.
Yeah,
so
he's a kid.
he's still part of of the Logan Cooleys and the Josh Dones, who are, you know, and the Dylan Gunthers, who we haven't even talked about yet here tonight. Wait till you see this kid play.
I mean,
he is so, so talented. He's got a shot like Connor Bedard. You know, he's got a ways to go to catch an Austin Matthews, but this kid can fire it. So, again, though, with Clayton Keller, I would like to see him do it when the games really matter, right? When you really need those goals and when you need those points from your big horses. That's when I want to see a guy like Clayton Keller deliver, you know, not in the last, you know, in a season when you're out of the playoffs. So I can't wait for this group to start you know, playing in those type of games.
Tyson Nash, our guest, and a couple more before I let you go. You did mention Sean Burke, and he is the goalie coach here with the Golden Knights. And I think your paths crossed for a season or two when you guys were in Arizona. Burkey's a guy who he's a fun guy. We always get to joke with him in the press box. He's just a really fun guy to chat with. But do you have any good stories about Sean Burke when you guys played together with the Coyotes?
Oh, man, I absolutely love Burkey. This guy was a passionate, fiery guy. I remember we were playing the Philadelphia Flyers, and I'll never forget. I lost the faceoff in the defensive zone. He was in net, and I went out there, and I hated blocking shots. I had sensitive feet. I'll be honest. No one likes to block shots. But
except Alec Martinez.
So I made myself pretty much as small as you could possibly make yourself. Well, the puck got through, ended up scoring. We got shelled after, I think, the first period. But after warm-up, every game, I always come in the locker room and down the hallway when I come off the ice, and I always yell, "Feeling good! Come on, boys!" And I always would say that. So he comes into the locker room after, you know, the Flyers put up a 5 spot on the board, and he's like, "And Nasher, are you kidding me? Feel good. You feel good? Holy!" And it just went on and on. We almost went toe-to-toe in the locker room. And he went up and down. I'll never forget. He went up and down myself, Chris Kalanos, anyone that he was in his line of sight, he was taken down. So it was pretty funny. I think we actually ended up going out there and winning the hockey game after that. But he was one of the best, man.
That's hysterical. Before I let you go, last one. I saw that you played in Japan. Now, Japan, my wife is from Japan. I spend a lot of time in the country. Just what was that experience like? Because you were up in Hokkaido, which is very far north, and it's basically like playing in Canada, except it's Japanese. It's so far north and cold and snowy. So what was that experience like for you? And just how much did you enjoy it?
Oh, man, I tell everyone, if you can finish out your career like that, first of all, it got me ready for life, you know, after hockey. You know, obviously the money's different. You're winding down, you know, all that stuff, right? And I'll never forget, I landed in Tokyo, and I was like, I remember them saying, okay, this is Tokyo below us, and we flew for like half an hour. And I'm like, we're still over Tokyo. Like, it's so massive, and there's so much more out there in the world, right? And yeah, you land in Tokyo, and you're like, where am I? Like, I just feel like I landed on the moon, right? And then you get to Kashiro, where I lived, and you're right, it was up in the middle of nowhere. I think it was on an island, actually. And it was cold, and it was dark, and all that stuff. But the weekend games, you know, we played a lot of neutral site games in Tokyo. So the team was so good with us, they would let the Canadians stay after the weekend's games. So we played Friday, Saturday in Tokyo, and we would stay for Saturday, Sunday, and we would fly back on our own on Monday and meet the team again. So we had, like, I was over there with Jamie McLennan and Joel Dick, you know, a buddy of ours, and we had the time of our lives. And our interpreter followed us around everywhere. Like, he helped us. He ordered the food. He did everything for us. We had this literally the time of our lives. That culture is absolutely amazing. I think we can all learn a lot from the Japanese people. I mean, they are just remarkable humans, how they function, just how polite they are, just their demeanor, all of it, right? And I can't say enough good things to the point where I want to go back to Tokyo with my family and with my kids and you know, kind of show them all the places and all the things I got to enjoy.
Yeah, it's a really, really fascinating country, and I don't think people realize how mad about sports the Japanese people are. I mean, it's pretty much ingrained in society, much like it is here. Did you have a favorite food that you picked up while you were over there?
Oh, man, we ate it all, too. That was the crazy part. I remember we went to China. We did monkey brain.
Whoa.
Japan. We did, which is like a delicacy. Like, you do the intestine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they bring it out to your table, and it's raw, and it's sitting right in front of you. And you literally grab your chopsticks, and you have to cook it over the hot plate.
Yep.
And oh yeah, I was just I'm a texture guy. I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy, and oh man, a lot of that stuff didn't sit well. But I loved. What I did love was the sumo wrestlers restaurant. we would go to their soup houses.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would have those soups that were just full. I don't know what they were, like 4,000 calories in the soup. It was like all fat and like, you know, but it was unbelievable. Oh my God, they treat us well.
All right, man. Hey, listen, now you got me hungry. I want to head back there. I've never been to one of the sumo restaurants, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like noodles and all sorts of meat, yeah. And they eat like three meals of that a day to help maintain their weight. But Tyson Nash, our guest, thanks so much for jumping on and spending the time with us this afternoon, and really looking forward to tonight's game.
You bet. Sounds good, myself included.
All right, yeah. Awesome. That was Tyson Nash. He is the color analyst for the Arizona Coyotes. If you're just jumping on, Chris Chapman here. Ryan Wallace on his way back to the studio. The stadium event watch party has been canceled due to the weather. So he's on his way back here to do the pregame and the postgame and the intermission reports from the studio. So I'm going to head to network. I'm going to take a break. If Ryan gets here before the end of the show, we're going to jump back on. But if not, we will talk to you on Monday. I want to thank you for listening to the VGK Insider Show. And don't fret, the Golden Knights game is still going to be on the station. Ryan just on his way back to the studio from downtown Las Vegas. We had to do this, so he had enough time to get back. But we will plan on hopefully talking to you in a little bit. If not, enjoy your weekend, everyone. Enjoy the Golden Knights game. Look, Arizona, fun game. Fun game. I'm really looking forward to this because I really like the young players that the Coyotes have. I mean, Dylan Gunther, like Tyson was saying, superstar in the making. J.J. Moser, another good young defenseman that they have. So it's going to be a fun one tonight. Going to be a very, very fun game for you tonight. Chris Chapman signing off. Hopefully Ryan Wallace gets here before 6 o'clock. If not, like I said, we will talk to you on Monday. Have a amazing, amazing Final Four weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you then.